Today, you'll learn of the victory God gave you and how that affects every part of your life. Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearson's use the elements of communion to demonstrate that victory on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast today. Jeremy Pearson's is with us again today. And we're going to do something today that is unusual on this broadcast. It's not an unusual thing. We are going to take communion together as a manner of teaching, yes, but also as a manner of instruction, beholding the love. Now, we finished yesterday's broadcast in 1 John. It says, behold, look, wake up to the love that God has bestowed upon us, has honored us with, has been conferred upon us. What manner of love? Beloved, what manner of love? Look at it. That we should be called the sons of God. And now, beloved, now, right now, not in the future sometime or another. Now, right now, we are the sons of God.
Yeah.
This is overwhelming. And the more you know it, the more you walk in it, the more precious it becomes.
Why are we the sons of God?
Oh, man.
Because of what Jesus did when he gave himself as a ransom.
And he's unwilling to lose us, Jeremy.
That's absolutely
He could have just said, to hell with all of them. And we'll just start this over again. No, God's not a loser. He has never been willing to lose, particularly to the likes of Satan.
Yeah.
Why should he? He created him, and he went bad. So why lose to him? No. He defeated him so thoroughly and so completely that Satan has no comeback.
Yeah.
No way. Listen, right now, go if you have some juice and some crackers or a piece of bread, go get them so you can enter into this with us. If you don't, just be still right where you are and listen carefully and partake of it in faith and in praise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise
go
the
ahead,
Lord.
Jeremy.
Well, in studying all this and going before the Lord with it, when he said some months ago, I want you to preach redemption, I knew right away I didn't know enough about it. And in preparing it and just letting this wash over me, that's the first thing I realized, man, it's so big. It's not a message. It's not a topic. It is the Bible itself. Mm. Redemption is as big as the Bible itself.
All of heaven is involved in this, man.
God threw himself into this, and as I sat there looking at scripture after scripture, it got to the point, it was pretty overwhelming. I said, where do you even begin? And one of the things the Lord instructed me to do is said, I want you to read Isaiah 53. And so let's turn there and we'll look at this, but we're going to read this account, but what you've got to understand is that Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is seeing something. We've been talking about 1 John 3, behold the love. That's exactly what he was doing.
Yes, he was.
And he wasn't seeing it with his physical natural eyes. He was seeing it on the inside, and he was beholding how much God loved his man.
You know, now, there's something else to be very aware of here. Jesus saw this.
Mm.
He got it this way. He saw himself in the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
All the other prophets too, but mainly this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Found himself.
Yeah, he found himself there.
So what I want us to do as we close out this week and move on into next week and just continue to let these things, I don't use this word often, but I believe it's the right word. Let these things overwhelm us.
Yeah, amen.
Nothing in this world is overwhelming. There's nothing this world can throw at you. There's nothing that Satan can come up with. There's no situation, no circumstance that is overwhelming in the face of God. But I'm going to tell you something. His love is overwhelming. His goodness is overwhelming. His grace is overwhelming. His kindness, what he's done, the lengths that he went to and went through with Jesus, it's overwhelming. And it takes a reborn spirit to begin to comprehend it. Oh, we could never understand how much God loves us.
Oh, yes, you can.
That's not what Ephesians 3 said.
No.
Ephesians 3 said, Paul said, I pray that you would come to know the love of Christ and that you'd be rooted in it and grounded in it. What does that mean? It means that everything you do and say has a root in love. Well, that, our love for each other, not first. Mm-mm. His love for us. I can't love you, Papa, until I know how much he loves me. I can't give to you something I don't have. But when I know that he loves me, then I can give you the same love that he gave me.
Now, he said, rooted and grounded in love, that you may comprehend or have in-depth working knowledge with all the saints, all the people of God, everybody that's born again. This is available to everybody. That you may have working in-depth knowledge of the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of what?
The love.
And to know, to have intimate relationship with the love of the Anointed One and His anointing.
Yeah.
And that you might be filled with the power.
And you can see how
the fullness of God.
How subtle it's been in the work of the enemy and Satan has been to very subtly and quietly get us saying things like, well, we could never understand. Oh, it's just too big.
You can't if God's the teacher.
Absolutely.
Man.
And to continue to say that you can't understand the love when that's what God is longing for you to understand. I held Justice. This is probably just weeks after he was born. And, he was just kind of crying and fussing around a little bit. And all I knew to say to him, here I am a new daddy. I don't know how to fix this stuff yet. But all I knew to say to him was, I love you, buddy. I love you. I love you. And I found myself just, I kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. And the Lord spoke up on the inside of me and he said, you know what? If he understood that, he wouldn't cry.
Everything would be all right.
He doesn't yet. He doesn't understand that yet. But it is my job as his father to make that boy understand how much he's
over
loved.
Over and over and teach and teach and proclaim and show and live it in front of him every way you can.
Prove it.
Instead of saying, well, you got to teach this kid something, slap, 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 bang him around like I got to bang around and make a man out of you. No, it'll make a heathen out of you.
He needs to know two things. He needs to know mommy and daddy love him. But even bigger than that, he needs to know his father.
Absolutely.
God, through his brother Jesus, has loved him with an everlasting love. That is my role as that boy's dad.
And I
got to
say this
to
him. I mean, here he is approaching a year old. And I'm not just saying this because he's my great-grandchild. I'm noticing in him, he laughs all the time.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't have the tension and discomfort about him that comes from just being caught up in the world or slapped around or whatever. You guys have been telling him he's loved since while he was still in the womb.
Yeah.
Told him that all the time. And he's laughs all the time.
Yeah.
And little
He's not
Ily,
worried about a thing.
No, little Ily's that way.
Yeah.
Because you were that way. Because your daddy and your mother, George and Terry, I mean, they talked to you. Your dad, George Pearson's, told you you were the seed of Abraham and you were the righteousness of God before you were 6 months in the womb. Mm. He talked to you and laid hands on you every day. And that's the reason you've never had any desire to do anything but be a preacher and to walk in the things of God since you're 3 years old.
Yeah. Well, how do we do this? This is what the Lord said to me. How are we going to behold the love? Went to Isaiah chapter 53 and just began to read it and read it and read it. And I got done reading it and he said, read it again. And I read it through and he said, read it again. And I got through and he said, read it again. And so I went and got the New Living Translation. I read it there. I read it in the Amplified. I read it in Young's Little. I mean, I read it every way I could get my hands on it until I got to the end and the Lord said, now what you're doing is you are beholding how much
that is so
I love you.
That is so powerful.
And we're going to see this. We're going to And this is what you need to do, is you need to allow these words to quit being words and start being pictures. Stop being just words on a page and allow the Word of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to paint such a vivid image on the inside of you of who Jesus is and what He went through and the price He paid, and find yourself in this. I want to begin reading Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll just start in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, talking about Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Notice this, he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And everybody thinks, oh, if I saw Jesus, I'd know who it was. Not if you're looking at the outside, you wouldn't.
No.
Until you learn to look at who he is through the eyes of God and on the assignment on his life, until you see him as the anointed one and his anointing, you'll never recognize Jesus. He goes on in verse 3, he says, he is despised and rejected by men. I believe it's the Amplified that brings this out, and this is key. He says, he was despised and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. That is what's keeping people in bondage. When they see Jesus and don't appreciate his worth, mm-hmm. because their worth is connected to his worth. And he said, we saw him, but we didn't find worth in him. We didn't value him. He goes on. He says, he was despised. We did not esteem him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We know those words should be translated pain and sickness. He took them. He bore our griefs, he bore our pain, he bore our sickness, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The punishment of the cross was so extreme and so intense that no matter what you thought about Jesus before that, you looked at that and said, well, he must have been wrong. I mean, only God would do this to somebody. But what he says, we didn't realize it was he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Now here's what this got all over me a few weeks ago, looking at every word of this, and the Lord had me do it. He said, look at every word. And I saw Jesus bruised. I saw the stripes on his back. I saw the beating. But he got me to this word, and he said, the chastisement of our peace was on him. He said, look at that word. And chastisement can mean a couple of things. It can mean to be beaten, but you know what else it means? Verbal punishment.
Verbal abuse.
Oh, man. You know, the curse has to be pronounced.
That's right, isn't it?
Do you remember when Moses the six of the tribe of Israel on this one mountain and six on the other side? And when the people would cross through there, he had one side pronounce the blessing and one side pronounce the curse. The curse has to be pronounced. I believe that Jesus, when he went through what he went through, he had, and I can imagine the way this ripped at his heart, he had to hear that curse pronounced over him for our sake. Here's a man who's never heard anything but the clear voice of his Father. Never for a moment in time had unbroken fellowship with the Father. Never once. As a matter of fact, he said, I only say what I hear,
I hear him do, or
what I see him do. So what's that mean? All the time hearing the Father, all the time seeing the Father. Now, for the first time in his earthly life, he's got to hear the curse pronounced over him. Can you imagine that?
Mm-mm.
I went back and looked at that example where Moses had those tribes split apart on that mountain. The Lord said, look at each one of those names. And I looked at every name that he put on the blessing side, and in one way or another, every one of those is a type of Jesus.
It is. Yeah, every one of them.
Every one of them. Joseph, Benjamin, Levi, our high priest. Our high priest. You know, Levi, his name, when his mother named him, it meant attached. Jesus, as our high priest, is attached to God, and he's attached to me.
Yeah.
And he represents God to me, and he represents me to God. He's attached to me.
The mediator.
And Jesus, because of what he did, he now stands over us, pronouncing the blessing over us, over and over and over.
My.
The chastisement, the verbal abuse for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And I need to say this here. This is why it's so important that you and I never be instruments of condemnation in somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. It is not our place to verbally condemn or to verbally abuse another human being. It is not the place of a husband to verbally put down his wife. It is not the place of a wife to use her words to put him down. Why? Just because that's not a nice thing to do? No, because it already happened to Jesus. And if I were to try to do that to you, if I were to try to punish you with my words, I am taking that off of him and trying to put it on you, and it doesn't belong on you.
No, it doesn't.
The chastisement for your peace was on him. He took that. And you don't have to listen to it. I don't have to listen to that. I can roll all of that over onto God and say, Father, I see in you, I've beheld the love. Jesus took this from me. I refuse to take it. That doesn't mean you get up in somebody's face and yell at them, I don't have to take that from you. You don't have to say a word if the Lord doesn't lead you to. You very quietly and by yourself say, Lord,
just rest in it.
You heard what they said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
Just rest.
I believe the love.
And all of those times when this ministry has been attacked in
yeah.
the past, that Gloria and I learned very early to say, well, that's what they said. That don't make it so. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I'm redeemed.
Yeah.
And I roll all the care of what they said. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do something bad to them to repay them for what they said about me. No, because he loves them just as much
sure.
as he does me. But I will repay means he's going to replace to me everything they tried to beat me out of, curse me out of,
yeah.
and the shame and all of that. I don't care.
But he can't do it if you try to fight for yourself.
No. If I try to defend myself, he make way for vengeance is mine, says
mm-hmm.
Lord. I say, Lord, that's your business, not mine. I ain't gonna pay any
yeah.
attention to it. Quit reading that stuff, quit listening to it.
Yeah.
Quit, get out of the fuss and get in the grace.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That is so real.
Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now that's big. That's exactly what we were just saying. To go astray from God isn't necessarily to go Satan worship, devil worship. No, it's to go your own way.
Mm-hmm.
To go away from God is to go your own way, and to go your own way had to be punished. He said, we have gone our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We wandered off, we sinned against God, and the punishment for it he put on Jesus. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Why? Because the moment he opened his mouth, it would have put a stop to the whole thing.
It would have stopped it. Because he'd have been delivered, and we can't afford that.
And I heard Brother Keith minister this. He ministered many years ago, but I was watching this recently, and he said, Jesus opened not his mouth so that you could open your mouth.
Amen.
And that's our response. When these kinds of things come against us, we open our mouths and we let fly the word of God. And this goes on and on and on. It creates a picture of what Jesus has done for us and what he's doing in us. And the way to seal that is at the communion table. And I want you to lead us in that. And we don't have time to get into all this. Every verse would preach for an hour. But I want you to lead us in communion, because this is one of the greatest ways I know of to behold how much God loves you. Because Jesus said, when you do it, remember me. Put a picture in your mind of what I did for you.
Now you put this here. His body and his blood. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take. Notice he said, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it. Eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, let's take, for instance, sickness, disease, sin, a bondage of some kind. Let me do this like this, just as an illustration. This is my computer. And there's all kind of porn and everything else on that computer. And there's problems, we'll say, in the life of a believer. Well, my deliverance is right here.
Sure.
Father, I take your broken body for me. I receive what you have done. It's mine. I take it. And I thank you for it. I'm so grateful to you for it. And you have delivered me, and you have set me free. Now, I receive my deliverance.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive it.
Thank you, Father.
This body broken for me. Now, this would be the same as if it was healing or anything else,
sure.
Anything that came under that curse. I'm just using it because this is a big thing about being hung on pornography, hung on something, dope or alcohol and these kind of things.
It's taking man captive.
Yeah.
But Jesus paid the ransom.
He paid the ransom. And I'm coming out of this.
Yeah.
When Jesus said that, he said, you drink it all. Don't just sip it. This is my blood and you drink all of it. It's my covenant for you. I judge myself as free. And I take the covenant that has broken me free in Isaiah 53.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I am a free man. Now, watch this. Watch this now. This is my deliverance. This is my healing. This is my everything. In order to get to this, I got to go through this.
Yeah.
I got to go right through the blood to get back to this. I'm not having that. I'm not going to that pornography and break this. Even if you fall out of it, praise God, confess the thing, call it what it is, it's sin, and I have partaken of it. I'm delivered. I'm going back to this.
Yeah.
I take this
exchange,
and I hang on to his promise. I hang on to his word. I am what he says I am, and this is the hope that makes me pure.
Yeah.
And I am beholding what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me to call me his son.
Amen.
I don't care if I have to take this 15 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I sure don't have to wait till the third Sunday of the month. Mm-hmm. That's a religious practice, and that's good if it's ministered like it should be. You need to be taking this. There are those that do this every day, and they are the most powerful people that I have ever known. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
I bless this to you. In the name of Jesus. This is the power of his blood and his body, this covenant of life. You are a living child of the Almighty God. Now begin to think like it. Begin to think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, in love, in faith, day in, day out. When you slip, grab the communion elements right where you, and just take it again and stay in there and stay in there. Have faith in the blood and faith in that broken body and faith in his word and walk in it. And when you do, you begin to get his results. Now, we're out of time for today. And Brother Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment. But now you go back over these things. Go to KCM.org and replay this over and over and over again, and do it over and over and over again and again. He said, as often as you do it, he didn't give you a time limit on it. He said, as often as you do it, you remember me.
Yeah.
You think about me. You get me on your mind when you do these things. And that's what we saw in Isaiah 53.
That's right.
Was get him on your mind. Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment. I'm gonna close this broadcast today with this. This is Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. On the day you were born, no one cared about you. Your umbilical cord was not cut. You were never washed. You were never rubbed down with salt or wrapped in cloth. No one had the slightest interest in you. No one pitied you or cared for you on the day you were born, and you were unwanted, dumped in a field, and left to die. That's the curse. But I came by and I saw you there, helplessly kicking about in your own blood. As you lay there, I said, live! And I helped you to thrive like a plant in the field. You grew up and became beautiful. A beautiful jewel. You became full. Your body had grown, but you were still naked. And when I passed by again, I saw you were old enough to for love. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declared my marriage vows to you. I made a covenant with you, says the sovereign Lord God, and you became mine. And that covenant is just what we just entered into.
Yeah.
You became mine. I bathed you and washed off your blood. I rubbed fragrant oils into your skin. I gave you expensive clothing of fine linen and silk, beautifully embroidered, and sandals made of goatskin leather. I gave you lovely jewelry, bracelets, beautiful necklaces, a ring, earrings, and a lovely crown for your head. And so you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were made of fine linen and were beautifully embroidered, and you ate the finest foods, choice flour, honey, and so forth and so on. And then as you read that on, he said, and you came to the place where you said, you had no need of me. And that's when Jesus came and said, I need you. And he became the covenant. And in all of that redemption is all of good things. Rejoice in it and know He is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org.